This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, there's one thing about Saturday. It seems like it's a little crisp.
Ooh.
You know, that's a good thing.
Yes, yes. You get, you know, and you get up. You're not necessarily in a hurry, like Monday through Friday. And then you go out, and especially when we start getting into, like, fall, and you have that nice, crisp morning, and it gets a little bit warm in the afternoon, but not too terribly hot. Man, it's a wonderful time of year. When does fall officially start? It's not for like a couple weeks, I think.
That's right.
Geez, I didn't even look.
Well, let me tell you this. The Bagbys have been blessed with all these pumpkins.
Really?
You're not going to believe this. Somebody, we thought we were putting out squash, right? And we have got pumpkins growing everywhere. They're in the rose bushes. They're all on the flower beds. They're everywhere. Our biggest one so far is 3.5 pounds.
Really?
I mean, we have got pumpkins everywhere.
That's the size of a baby.
And we now have 7 pumpkins.
Really?
And I'm afraid they're just getting started.
Wow, that's a nice little surprise.
It is. I mean, everybody's looking for squash, and these pumpkins pop up. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's one thing. If it's not one thing, it's two here at this house.
At least it's still in the gourd family. That's nice. It's close.
That's right, and they're pretty.
Yeah.
They look good. I don't know what we're going to do as it just keeps multiplying.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kids like it. They think it's funny.
Sure, yeah. You can have a pumpkin, you know, every day, a new one, you know, from now to Halloween.
That's right. And we could carve all those. That'd take a lot of work, but yeah. It could be done.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, we're all staying home these days, so what else you got to do? Might as well carve pumpkins.
And, you know, like they say, you get on YouTube and you learn how to do it.
Yeah. There's videos for everything on YouTube. You can learn how to do anything.
That's right. My little granddaughter signed up for violin.
Really?
Well, and my son, of course, plays every kind of instrument. So he gets a YouTube video and shows her these little children playing violin.
Really? How cool.
That's right. So there is a video for anything you can't do. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is.
And if you can do it, you can make the video.
I hadn't thought about that. But Steve Doocy, the other morning, said that during this time he was confined to his house, he went online, got him a video of learning to cut hair. He said he watched it 10 times and then cut his hair.
How did he do?
Well, he said it looked pretty good. And the people that cut their dog's hair should have seen the videos before they cut the dog's hair.
Yeah.
I saw some of those dogs. They didn't look good.
Yeah.
the dogs had their legs crossed and just, you know, kind of sitting down.
That was a disaster.
It was. Oh, my gosh. They figured the dog had to have his hair cut.
Yeah.
Well, just didn't have any experience.
Well, you know, it's and somehow when dogs get bad haircuts, I think they know.
I know they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you get one shaved, which I do not believe in at all, they just act like that they're mortified.
Yeah.
I mean, they are mortified.
Yeah, they don't even look in the mirror to know it. They're just like, oh, you did not do this to me.
That's right. And they just kind of hunker down and they're waiting for it to grow out.
Yeah. I wonder how they know.
I don't know. It's something they know instantly what happened.
Yeah. They know instantly what happened.
And I don't know if it's the lightness of on their back, you know, they can feel everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And that would be a dead giveaway right away.
Yeah, they do have a good sense of stuff around them. That's for sure.
They do.
So what are you going to do with all these pumpkins if they end up canceling Halloween?
I don't know. Now, I'm thinking this, that we should take them to their schools.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's a good idea.
I think we should take all of them to the schools, and we've got plenty of time, mm-hmm. and we're probably going to have a lot more.
Yeah.
So we should take them to the schools for the enjoyment of everybody.
Sure. You could also get a little wagon and set up a little stand and start selling pumpkins.
Well, we could.
Kind of like a lemonade stand, but different.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we could.
We're just
remember, there's a road in front of my house.
I know it.
I mean, you thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So this plan is not really thought out. This is really raw right now. So.
Oh, okay. You haven't got it perfected, what you're telling me.
Yeah, we should probably revise that a little bit. Awesome. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
So selling pumpkins may not be the best plan for growing wealth or you know, getting ready for retirement.
I don't think you can retire on what we're going to make on these pumpkins.
I don't think so. No. But people do need some kind of a plan. They need to have some kind of a strategy. If people are relying on like pumpkin sales for retirement goals, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so when people are looking at things, they're looking at options, you know, because so many things are so different, you know, like you're talking about, you know, YouTube videos. And, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about businesses closing and businesses that don't operate like normal are transforming and doing other things with what they've got. So there's all kinds of different things that are going on. People are exploring different opportunities to get either the same thing done or accomplish new goals. So when it comes to investing and growing wealth, if people are stuck in that place, like, well, Faye, I'm sorry, that's just the way of the world. I've been in the stock market forever. This is just how it's going to be. I need to just plan on going back to work. What do you say to people like that? There is light at the end of the tunnel.
I think there is, and I think there's always a different option. You know, the stock market isn't for everybody. You know, the ones that love the stock market, that's great. They should stay there. But the ones that are getting 55, 60 years old, a lot of them are coming to me and saying, you know, I do not want to leave my retirement in the stock market. You know, I want to make a change. These are the people that are coming to us and saying, I've already been there. I've been there a long time. But as I retire, I'm not going to leave it with them.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to lose any of it after they retire. So those are the people that are coming to us, people that are selling their businesses. They're giving it to us to manage rather than putting it back in the stock market. And we have conservative people. Our conservative people, some of them have never been in the stock market. When they sell their companies, they're coming to us because they don't intend to start now.
Yeah. Do you find that people are more proactive or reactive when they come to see you?
Well, a lot of them are proactive. They're thinking about what's going to happen in the future. They're thinking about this money that they're getting, and they don't want to risk it. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather do this and be a little bit conservative rather than just go all hog and tell the broker, just put it in everything. You know, buy some of this stock, that stock, you know. And as I said, most of the companies have quit paying dividends. a lot of them, their stock is going to be worthless. But then you've got the stocks that are good. So, you know, they've got to figure it out. And if the brokers were that brilliant, they would have already made their millions and left. Yeah. Have you thought about that?
I have not, no.
Well, think about it. The brokers are touting all these stocks. Mm-hmm. But if they were that good at picking and they've been there 10 years, wouldn't they have already made so much money that they didn't need to work and they would have already retired?
Interesting perspective. Huh.
Well, you have to think about that. If they are that brilliant, they're going to make you $5 million this year, you can all retire.
Huh. Never even thought about that before.
I don't think it's going to work.
No.
And the brokers, you know, are going to be so extremely wealthy in 2 or 3 years. If what they're saying is true, then they don't need to work. Yeah. They'll just quit and go retire.
Yeah. Maybe some of them should.
Well, there is a few of them that should, yes.
There are a batch that probably need to drop out.
There's a few of them that have given some bad advice, and they, even though the market was up, my clients didn't make any money.
Yeah.
And then they came to me and told me, you know, what their situation was. And they took it out of the market because of their age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting to an age where they don't want the up and down. They don't want that risk.
Well,
and they'd rather just have solid gains.
When people, when they start out on their investing journey, if they start, you know, in their 30s maybe or 40s, you know, you've got a little bit of time. So if something does happen, if their portfolio just tanks, you know, all of a sudden, and or if we have another 2008 or something like that, you know, their portfolio starts to really, really go down. They start losing a lot of money. There is a little bit of time to recover. Once you start getting closer to retirement or even after retirement, if something devastating happens, now the stakes are a little bit higher because you don't have quite so much of a recover period. You know, it's just like, okay, now we're already in the middle of it, and if something happens, well, all we can literally do is cross our fingers and hope for the best. And that's not really a very solid wealth management strategy, I would imagine.
No, because if you're 60 years old, you don't have a lot of time to remake that money back up. You know, that's what happened before. People got stuck real fast, you know, with the downturn, and it took them years to recover. And the ones that remember that, you know, don't want to take as much risk. And lots of times people come to us, they don't put the whole thing with us. Sometimes they'll say, we're going to put 100 and see how it works, see if we like you. Then others will come and say, we're going to put 700,000 with you, you know. So it depends how they feel about their future. Do they want to make the change and build it, or do they want to protect it and build it? Because, you know, with a life insurance policy, it's not going to go up and it's not going to go down. I mean, what you invest, you're going to get back, plus your interest.
Do you find that...
And it's not like a stock that we think it's going to go up. If it does, you make money. If it goes down, you lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guarantees. Remember that. You have no guarantee on your money at any time.
Is there any kind of relationship between and this is just for new investors, but for somebody who's coming over for the first time and looking for other options, do you find there is a correspondence between the amount that they want to start with and their confidence in, say, like the market, like how much they want to react to it? Or is it just kind of like, I just want to test it and just to see, and then we'll go from there?
Well, a lot of them want to test it, and they do every day. And then they add to it as they see how it works, and then it's, that they do get paid, that they do get their interest. And then a lot of them come over maybe with $250,000, $300,000 to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And they start with that. They'll buy maybe five, six policies, and we go from there.
with the stock market, people have generally known that, you know, the oversimplified version is you get in and you hope for the best. And I know that, you know, there's a little bit of science behind it and people explore it. And hopefully they're doing some research, you know, into what stocks they're buying and things like that. But in reality, anything can happen. No matter how much research somebody does, no matter what experts say, you know, this is trending this year or, you know, get on this stock or whatever the case is, no matter what research is done, that can fall apart literally overnight. And the stakes are very, very high. Do people find out that, you know, hey, I don't have to invest like this. I can take more of a, and this might not be the right way to say it, but the slow and easy conservative route with like in life settlements, things like that, those types of investments. Do you find that people are much more comfortable with, okay, this may take me, you know, 7 years or 10 years or whatever the case is to get where I need to be, but I'm confident that the foundation is there and it's solid and it's steady and I'm going to keep growing regardless of what happens in the market? Do people take comfort in that?
I think they do because they know it's slow, it's steady. The policies are mature at 24 months, 30 months, 12 months, whatever it is. And then we just simply reinvest it and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a steady, steady income and it's steady results. Every policy is different. Every policy, you know, is a different person, a different type of cancer. So the results are always different. But the main result is you always get your principal and interest. So the principal is always guaranteed. You know, you'll get your principal back. And there's nowhere on earth that I know of that you'll get your principal back if it's not in a vehicle like a life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, life insurance policies have not changed. They always pay their claims. There's never been an insurance company that didn't pay a claim.
So for those who are new, who are just now, you know, looking for other options, because I know that, you know, every single day people are saying, oh, look, I've had enough with Wall Street and the stock market. I can't take the ups and downs. There's got to be some other options. So for those who are new, who are at that position, how would they, because I'm sure probably the first question they may ask is, how do I even possibly invest and make money from a life insurance policy? How does that become an investment?
Well, they will know how it works. And so then we explain to them that what we pay for the insurance policy and the face amount is where they make their money. They make the difference between what's paid for it and what the face amount is.
Is it fair to say that the types of life insurance policies that you are buying are what makes it such a, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, makes it such a profitable, lower risk investment? Is the actual types of policies, that's what sets the trajectory. Is that fair to say, you think?
That's exactly right. And what we have discovered is, you know, a lot of people don't do cancer policies. They just do seniors. Mm-hmm. And you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I do not want to do a senior policy under any circumstance. But there is people that's what they're doing. And, of course, with us, you know, we have a limit on the age. And, of course, we're going to stick with the cancer. And it's harder to get cancer policies. So lots of times we have to wait for them. But we feel like it is worth the wait.
It's because it seems like you've usually got quite a few, at least that you're bidding on, you're looking at, you're researching, waiting for documents to sign. It seems like there's usually a pretty steady supply of policies that people have to invest in. Is that still the case?
That's right. And of course, what we're doing all the time is we're bidding them every day, and we don't always know if we'll get the bid. This is a very competitive business. There's a lot of people in it. It's, you know, $1 billion a year business. And, you know, the mutual fund companies are in it now. A lot of big companies are in it. And used to, they weren't there. But they figured out that they could get in this, they could put it in a mutual fund and pay them just like they pay 8%. And everybody figures there's a difference. That's why it's so competitive, because they don't have to make as much money because they're only paying the client 8%.
Mm.
So with us, we're paying the clients 1% a month. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think you could change that where you could make more money and buy more policies? And I said, so far, we've been able to maintain that 1% a month.
Would there be any advantage to doing something like that, or have you found the sweet spot where it's the most profitable?
Well, we think for the clients, this is the best way to go. We may do some mutual funds, but so far we have not.
All right. So when people want to understand what this is all about, they say they come to you for the first time and they say, okay, Faye, I've heard about this. You know, I've heard you talking about it for a long time, or maybe, you know, a friend of mine or coworker, you know, said, hey, they've been making all this money. How does the policy work? What is the biggest question that they have when they come to see you for the first time?
Well, when can they get started? When can they get their first policies?
Mm.
That's the important part. When can we get started? When can we get those first policies?
Are most people ready to go, or do they come in for information for the most part?
No, they're ready to go. They've talked to me on the phone first. They tell me how long they've been listening, how much they know about how it works. And then when they come in, yes, they're usually ready by that time.
All right. So say I'm coming to you for the first time right now, and I say, okay, Faye, I've heard this. What do I need to know? I know that I invest in life insurance policies. Something happens, and I just wait for the policy to mature, and then I get paid. Is that basically the – I know there's a little more to it than that, but is that basically how a life settlement works?
That's basically how it works. They put their money in the policy. They wait for the people to pass away, which we call a maturity. When it matures, they get paid.
Okay.
And it's just that simple.
And when people sell their policy, it's for a number of reasons. What do you think the biggest one is? Because people need to know, I think, how, you know, the whole thing even started. You're not going in, you're not, you know, taking anybody's policy or like that. They need to sell the policy for a couple of reasons. And what does that look like?
Well, they need to sell it for, the main reason is for medical treatment. So, you know, it's $100,000 a month when you're fighting cancer, and they're going to fight it with everything they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of money to fight cancer. It's not a cheap disease.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so they sell their policy where they can pay for all this treatment. And then there's some people, we've had executives that they know they're dying and they want to settle it before they die. They want to call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure they'll sell the life insurance policy and go ahead and give them their money now.
So that it's over with and there's not family fighting.
Over with. There's no fighting. There's no deciding.
Yeah. All right.
And, of course, we've had children, that were unhappy. One guy was unhappy because he's just getting the house.
Ooh.
I'm thinking, my gosh. I mean, you don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. He was mad because he was only getting the house.
Wow. All right.
I mean, you know, heirs have funny things about them sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when there's money involved. People's emotions tend to change.
That's right. Everything is crazy.
So if somebody comes to you and they say, all right, Faye, I'm really, really interested. I like this. How much money can I make? Do people ask you those types of things?
Usually they ask, you know, what is the return per policy, you know, and I tell them it varies. If it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's an 18-month, they're going to make 18%. And I explain to them it's 1% a month. So then they understand the philosophy behind all this and how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Do people find that it takes a little bit of adjustment to understand, hey, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. Hey, this is a life insurance policy. Nothing else will affect this. You really literally set it and forget it. And then when the policy matures and, 12, 24, whenever the policy matures, you just let them know, hey, this is matured. You don't need to call and check. You don't need to do anything. It's just literally waiting, and it's almost like mailbox money. Is there an adjustment period? Do people, what's the reaction when people,
Well, once they have that first policy under their belt and it matures, they know exactly how this works. You know, they've been told and been told, but when it actually happens, they know for sure this is definitely the way it works. So they relax. They know that, you know, as it matures, they get paid. We send them an email every time there's a maturity.
What makes investing in a life insurance policy such a great thing? Is it the turnaround? Is it the fact that they're not going to lose their principal, like you said earlier? Is it the fact that they don't have to, check on stuff? Their anxiety is lower?
I think two or three things. The anxiety is lower. You're not having to get up at midnight and check the returns. You're not having to, every time there's a hiccup, you're not worrying about it. No matter what's happening in the day-to-day world, it doesn't affect your policy. That's really important to them. And then, knowing that it's in a vehicle that is going to give them back that principal. Your principal's everything. If you lose your principal, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
So the safe return of your principal plus your interest, I think it's more important to anybody than anything. You want to be sure you're going to get your money back.
What should people plan on as far as like when they're going in? And I know it changes once people experience it. I know a lot of people generally keep going. But how long should somebody plan on being involved, being investing in life insurance policies to get to a place where they're ready for retirement, like comfortably?
I would think 7 or 8 years.
All right.
That's what I would allow.
So if somebody's in there, if somebody's, say, 55, they still have plenty of time to get to a place where, they can retire comfortably if they're not already there yet.
That's right. And, I think 10 years gives them a lot of time to make enough money that they can retire comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And then most people, even after they retire, we're still handling their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end just because you retired.
Because at that point, and I know we talk about that a lot, and I know we talk about how we talk about it. But, when people, because we were talking about earlier, when people are in the stock market, even after you retire, when you're 75, 77, something like that, and you've got everything in the stock market, and something happens, you're looking at going back to work at 80, and that's a difficult place to be. Whereas if people are invested in a life insurance policy, nothing literally changes from the, if they retire tomorrow and, they no longer get that steady paycheck. They get their, whatever they may have, bonuses or whatever may be lingering out there, but they keep going with life insurance policies because when it comes down to it, at that point, it's no longer getting ready for retirement. It is simply a matter of growing your wealth and wealth management at that point. Is that an assessment that's pretty accurate?
What they're saying now is people can only take 3% out of their stocks and make it. It was 4 and 5. Now they've got it down to 3.
Hmm.
So, with us, I think it's going to be a little different because our people tend to take a lot more than that out, I can tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can only take bare minimum 3%, it's going to be a little hard to live on that 3% interest.
Do you find that when people are planning for retirement, the retirement life that they may have in the stock market may be completely different than the lifestyle they could have by doing a life insurance policy?
Well, everything is different because you're talking about two different vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the stock market, you're not calling the shots.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about this. You're relying entirely on a broker.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's up to the broker. He's going to call the shots. He's going to put you in what he wants you in, not particularly what you were thinking that you should do, but they call the shots. In this, you call the shots. You pick the policies. You pick how much you want to put in, Everything's up to you. You control your destiny with us.
So do you find that there's a lifestyle change between the two? People can plan on, because here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, okay, people may be a little bit more conservative in other routes of investing and wealth management, thinking, okay, if something happens, I need to leave this over here just in case. And so a lot of resources end up being not tapped, and they can't take advantage of some of those things because they may be planning for a rainy day. But with a life insurance policy, it seems like people can go ahead and kind of relax a little bit. It's like, you know, we don't necessarily have to leave a rainy day fund. Now, I know emergencies come up and, you know, there could be a medical situation that arises and then they may need some resources for that. But aside from that, can people kind of relax a little bit and enjoy their post-retirement lifestyle a little bit more because the investment is so stable, it's so conservative, it's so, I guess, less risky than other options?
Well, it is stable, and it's a stable investment. I don't think the risk is as great as in the stock market because you can't lose your life savings. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what everybody remember. The people that are in the stock market, that usually is their entire life savings that they're risking.
And so, literally, it can all be gone.
That's right. And this way, it's a policy by policy. If you've got six policies, you're going to get six returns.
And so after retirement, a lot of people keep going. They keep investing. They still have plenty of money to do the things that they want to do without necessarily worrying. Because the last thing you want to do is take a European vacation, you know, 2 weeks after you retire and then be up all night worrying about, you know, hey, is my portfolio gone? Do we have anything left? Can we even, you know, fly back home?
Yeah.
I know this is an oversimplified example, but, you know, so it's like people can relax and enjoy things. So there are some risks involved. We'll get into some of those here in just a couple minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. And your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And we should also mention your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And if people have not gone there yet, they want to do a little research ahead of time. They want to see some real numbers that people are making from investing in life insurance policies. If they want to see some testimonials, find out a little bit about what you know people say about the program from those who have actually invested, they can find all that information there. And I know every Saturday morning around this time we get into trivia. I know you've been a little bit under the weather, and I hate to make you talk so much, but what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to review a movie.
Ooh.
Of all things.
All right.
It's a real life murder.
Really?
And there's not many real life murders that we know about that's in our state.
Mm-hmm.
This was a murder that happened in Carthage, Texas.
Really?
They made a movie called Burning, and I don't know if you've seen it or heard about it.
Mm-mm.
And it was years ago that this happened. But the movie is great. A person should rent the movie. The movie is better than the real life story. I mean, you
really?
Know. Yes, Jack Black stars in it. And he is hilarious in this movie. Shirley MacLaine plays the victim. Matthew McConaughey plays the sheriff. And it's one of the best movies. I love the movie. I've seen it twice.
Really?
Now, and this was written, the movie was written by Skip Hollandsworth of Dallas, Texas Monthly. He was one of the writers for it.
Wow.
And this happened in Carthage, Texas. I won't give away the secrets, but this guy moves to Carthage, Texas. He goes to work for the local funeral home. He can sing. He puts on shows. He's just... the women fall in love with him, especially the elderly ladies. And when this guy is tried for murder years later, and the best line was this little old lady at his trial, and she whispers to him, and she said, Oh, my gosh, who's going to sing at my funeral with you gone?
Wow, that is kind of funny.
It is funny. He could sing Christian songs. I mean, he grew up, his father was a pastor here in Texas. And he could sing, he could charm you, he loved life. When he came to Carthage, I never will forget, he had this old town car, and he moved into a little house. And as I said, he put on plays, he sang in the choir, everybody loved to hear him sing. He was charismatic, okay? Mm-hmm. And Shirley MacLaine is the town villain. Her husband dies, he owns the bank, and she's just mean. She's so mean, her own children sue her.
Oh, wow. That's pretty mean.
But anyway, he becomes attached to this woman. He does things for her. He starts managing her money. He's managing her. And she becomes more demanding all the time, more demanding. Before it was over with, she demanded that he live in her house, that she wanted him right there in her house. So he tries to leave. This is one of the best moments of the show. He tries to leave. He gets in his town car. He's racing to the end of the driveway. She just simply closes the gate. I mean, there's some great lines in this thing. Oh, my gosh. So I recommend the movie. I think it's a great movie. And he wasn't even going to be convicted of murder in Carthage. Everybody loved him that much. But the sheriff says this isn't going to get it. So they move it out of Carthage, and, of course, the murder trial goes on. And all these people from Carthage go to this little town because they liked him that much.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a great story. It's called Bernie. It's got top actors in it. Jack Black is fabulous in this movie.
Yeah.
And Shirley MacLaine is this bitter old woman, is very great. And then you've got Matthew McConaughey as the sheriff.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's all top people. I loved the pictures of Carthage, of the women's clothes. It's pretty good. And it's worth seeing. I've seen it twice.
That's pretty good if you've seen it twice. When did this come out? Is it?
Oh, it's been a long time. It's probably... it actually happened 20 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they didn't make the movie till much later. And, of course, Skip Hollandsworth with the Texas Monthly is one of the biggest part of the writing for the movie. And it had a lot of turns and twists. They tried him twice, by the way.
Really?
Yes. And the real guy... is serving time, 99 years in prison.
Oh, my goodness. That's a pretty steep sentence.
It's a steep sentence. But it's pretty hilarious. even though it's a murder, it's not showed in that light. Let me put it that way. They made it a lot more fun. I hate to say that word.
Yeah.
They made it... light. Let's put it that way. They made it light, and Jack Black puts on just a terrific performance.
You know, when you said at the beginning, this is about a murder in Texas. Oh, okay, this is going to be serious. And then you started talking about that lady's funny line. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like a murder. This sounds like something a little bit different.
And another interesting fact in it. Even though he murders this woman, she drove him to it. I mean, demand. And, of course, the way it was portrayed in the movie is that he's got to go to practice. He's got to go. They're rehearsing this drama, and he has to go. And she says, "You're not going. You're going to stay right here." And there was something handy. He just picked it up and hit her with it. Okay?
Oh, my. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh,
boy.
Yeah. And so then He thinks about what he's done. And he doesn't want to bury her or do something terrible like that. So he puts her in the deep freeze.
Oh, geez.
And keeps her.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, he thinks, well, you know, I don't want to do this. And he's so mixed up, he puts her in the deep freeze.
Yeah, mixed up is one way to put it, yeah.
Well, he was mixed up. He said he didn't want to do away with the body.
Yeah.
So he keeps it. And, of course, that's how they found it.
Wow.
Yes. And everybody kept missing her. And they were calling him, and he was giving them excuses and all this. And they accused him, of course, of absconding with her money. But what he did, he gave it all away. He was giving it to charities where she'd gotten so tight she wouldn't give it to him. And he didn't keep any $1 for himself.
Really?
Yeah. So the family accused him of embezzlement of $3
million. Oh, geez.
But they proved they took every dime of that and gave to the various charities around town.
I wonder if he did that out of a guilty conscience.
I wonder about that, too. And, of course, he didn't get a new car, didn't do anything. He was still driving that old town car.
Well.
And if it had been up to the people in Carthage, because she was disliked so much, he would have never been tried for murder.
Mm. Mm. So I guess it's so strange that they took something so I guess serious maybe, and
yes.
And made it into a is it classified as a comedy or is it just got some funny stuff?
It's just got a lot of funny stuff in this movie.
So what is this movie called? It's Bernie.
Bernie.
All right.
Story of Jack Black as the killer. Shirley MacLaine is the victim, but the city of Carthage is really portrayed as this beautiful city. The women's clothes, it's just a town home feeling.
I wonder, did they film some of it on location, or did they do like a lot of set stuff? Can you go see where it was, you know, some shots and things like that?
Well, I think every bit of it is filmed in Carthage, Texas.
It would be neat to go and like see the movie, and then drive to Carthage and kind of see some of where it was filmed. That might be a good weekend trip.
I think it would because the story is so interesting.
Yeah, yeah, really cool.
And they don't make it real grim like most murder mysteries. Yeah, they don't show the grim side.
Oh, good, good. So it could be some lighthearted, I hate to say that, but it could be some good lighthearted entertainment
I think it is a little bit lighthearted. It is a true story, of course, but they do change a little of the facts.
Neat.
You know, I mean, they don't make it as bad, I guess, as you would say, in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like
they lighten it up, and it's got a lot of fun deals going through it.
Yeah, neat. Well, it sounds like a nice, interesting take on a very serious matter, but they made it more. I guess that's maybe just the foundation of the story, and then they kind of turned it into a little bit more of an entertainment piece instead.
And you know, the funny thing, they've interviewed him in prison.
Oh, really?
And he said, "Oh, look at all things I'm doing. I mean, he's got him singing here. He's got him." Doing this, doing that. He's busy as a beaver.
Really?
That is absolutely the truth.
Wow. It sounds like it makes it difficult to not like the dude.
This is what it was. Everybody in the town liked him so much, and they disliked her so much because she was so tight and so mean, even her family. But at the trial, the family pretended like they all just loved each other. She was so wonderful, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and the other thing is, she had changed her will to leave everything to him.
Really?
Yes. And, of course, all he was doing was giving the money away. He was just having fun, just giving that money away every day. And he didn't stay in her big house. He moved back to his little bitty house. And was living very conservatively, and didn't steal a dime.
Wow.
he just lost it that one night when she said he could not go and practice the play. And he was in the garage, just lost it.
Otherwise, he was a really nice dude, is what it sounds like.
Yes, and he had helped her so much. He went on vacations with her. He let her put him down every day. I mean, she would just say, you work for me. You do what I say. I mean, you know, and she checked up on him every moment, where he was, what he was doing. And she would cancel engagements he had with people. He would have something planned. She'd call up and cancel it.
Really?
Yeah, she was running his life 100%.
Wow.
And, you know, he wanted to get away from her, and he could not get away. And he just, he went crazy that day, and he just had too much.
Evidently. That's one way to put
it.
He'd had too much.
But I love the scenery. I love the people. Matthew McConaughey is really good in it. Shirley MacLaine as this bitter old woman is very good.
Yeah, yeah, I can see her doing that too. I would imagine she's probably, and I haven't seen it, but you know, I would imagine she's really, really nailed that role.
She did, and then of course Jack Black can sing, like, you know, has an amazing voice. He did a lot of singing in it, a lot of churches. And that's why they loved him. You know, he could sing to them. He could direct plays. He could do anything.
Wow. Yeah, Jack Black has got a lot of talent. So that movie's definitely going on the list of things to do. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I know we were talking about a lot of the benefits of a life settlement. I know we've talked about, you know, how it's a conservative investment. And I know it's one of these things that people can actually get on a trajectory, get ready for retirement. They can keep doing this after retirement, because life insurance policies, there's certainly no shortage of them. Most everybody has one, and many people are either selling them, or in some cases they abandon them, which means that the life insurance companies have all these reserves, because especially when somebody just stops paying or they cancel, that's just extra money in the bank, so you know that they pay out. But there's got to be some kind of a downturn. So what is the what are some of the risks? I know there's three big ones. What do you say is the biggest one?
The biggest risk is it can go over. And that means it can go a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. So you have to be prepared that a percentage of your policies may go over. Some may go over a year, some two, some three. But always be prepared for that. And, of course, if it's an IRA account, you know, you're not going to need the money right away, so it's all right. So, but that's something you have to take in consideration. That is your biggest risk, is it going over.
And then the second biggest?
The second biggest risk is, remember, it is not liquid during the time it's invested.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody would miss that fact.
Most people, you know, it's not even a concern at all.
No, it's not. And then the third risk is if an insurance company should ever go under. And as you know, we've never had an insurance company go under in Texas, and we haven't had one nationally for years, because someone always buys them right away because of their premium income.
What's the reaction that you get from people when you go over the risks? Do they almost like blink an eye and say, okay, come on, where's the other shoe that's going to fall? There's got to be something, because those seem fairly low compared to other options and the returns that they get regardless. So
I think they're glad that that's the biggest risk.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's glad there's not any risk any higher than that.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the investment goes, when you're looking at life insurance policies, how does it work? You bid on a policy, you find out that it's up for bid, you look at it. You don't even accept all policies just because it comes across your desk and it's available. You don't even bid on all of them. How does that process
work? No, I turned one down yesterday. It was a Genworth policy. And Genworth, you know, is now a B-rated company. It was a good policy. I wanted to bid it. But then we looked down and saw it was Genworth, a B-rated company, so we did not do it. One of these days, we're going to find a policy that's so good, even if it's B-rated, we're going to have to do one.
You're looking
someday,
for it.
Someday.
So when people come in and they're like, okay, Faye, I'm ready to go, how many policies do most people start with right off the bat? Like how much, money-wise, policy number-wise, and then what kind of returns do they get for that?
Well, usually, you know, you're going to do six or seven to start with. A lot of people got 20, I've got some, they've got 30. But you have to be consistent. You've got to reinvest consistently in order to make money. And if you put part of it in cash and just leave it there, never use it, you won't have as great a return as other people.
So no matter what people are doing to get ready for retirement or even just simple wealth management and wealth growth, the plan should never be to just invest into one thing and have some kind of overnight whiz-bang magic happen. That should not ever be a plan, right?
I don't think that should ever be a part of your portfolio.
Well, then it sounds like this is going to be like a perfect investment for most people. Is there any other downside at all? I mean, people basically, it's almost like a golden opportunity. It seems like a dream investment. Is there any other thing that people should know?
Well, of course, the only other thing that is what the premiums are. And we tell you what the premiums are in advance. That's on that page 14 that we always talk about. It tells you everything you ought to know about your policy.
Okay. And the big one is the type of policy that it actually is. Stage 4 cancer is the only thing that you are buying. Those are the only types of policies that are available. Because people see these commercials, like you said earlier, people see these commercials all the time for, you know, just any random company is buying life insurance policies for elderly people, and they're, you know, taking their money and they're driving all around in their RV and they're touring and they're seeing the country and visiting grandkids and just having a time of their life. Those are not the policies you're buying, and that's what really is the secret to the whole thing, because stage 4 cancer, we know the numbers, we know the historical the trajectory that people diagnosed with stage 4 cancer go on, because there's so much history behind it. And that is, I guess, what really sets up the foundation for this type of investment.
That's right. Because you have to be consistent. You know, you have to do it all the time. And people are making money, and that's the whole project, is to make them money where they can retire if they haven't already retired.
Mm-hmm. And if people are already set for retirement, this is just a chance to make more money. And I honestly don't know anybody who would not take an opportunity to make more money for doing really very little work, because this investment doesn't involve... really, there's no maintenance. I mean, once they're in, it's just, you just wait, right?
And do you realize a lot of these people have been with us since 13 and 14?
Really?
They've been with us a long, long time.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so what about policies that are coming up? Availability, policies?
We hope that we'll have some policies at the end of this next week that'll be ready to go. We've got a lot of bids out. We're going to be closing some at the end of the week.
Sweet. All right. And so if people want to come in, they want to get started, how fast could they start? Because I know you've got a lot of investors that are already on board. When could a new person realistically start getting into policies?
In the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Not bad. That's pretty quick. That's good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Are you still doing Zoom meetings and stuff?
I am.
Sweet. And that's going well, I assume?
It is going well. We've learned how to do it pretty good. We can see them. They can see me. All they have to do is come over to the office, and we'll do a Zoom meeting.
Fantastic. All right, Faye, one last time, what is your phone number for people to call, make an appointment, get information, get started, wherever they want to jump in? What's your number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.